Gracious God, we celebrate you and your goodness, that you are a Father who so dearly loves us. Lord, you show it in so many tangible ways in our lives. Lord, we see it so clearly and evidently on the cross, where you sent your Son to die for us, so that we might be saved, so that we might be restored and healed and reconciled, be made part of the family of God, where we are able to cry out to you, Abba, Father, our good and perfect God. We thank you for that. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. All right, well, I'm sure you're probably wondering if I'm going to preach before it starts raining, but we'll see what happens, right? We're doing pretty good so far. As I was contemplating what to preach this week, it came from a conversation that I've actually had with quite a few of you. And the last sermon series we did was where? Does anyone remember?
Revelation.
Revelation. And what were we looking at specifically?
Seven churches.
Yeah, you guys need to yell way louder. You're way too far away.
Seven churches.
The seven churches, right? And we looked at the book of Revelation, and we looked at these seven local churches in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And each letter was written by Jesus through John to the church. And Jesus had a message for each of the churches that they needed to hear from him, that they needed to understand, that they needed to comprehend. And as I was talking to many of you, a question that came up quite often was, well, if Jesus was to speak to our church, to Anwilson Community Church, what do you think he would say in the letter to us? Sort of a fascinating thought to contemplate, isn't it? And I would say, in part, the answer to that is, well, he would say exactly what he said to all the other seven churches, wouldn't he? There's something we can learn from each of those letters from the churches. But there's another thing that we didn't really talk much about in that series that I want to sort of discuss this morning. And if you remember reading through all these letters to the seven churches, there was one phrase that was repeated over and over again. And it was mostly at the end of each letter, but sometimes it would be more in the middle. But it was this: he who has an
ear
to hear. To hear, listen to what? Listen to what the Holy Spirit says, right? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, I found that fascinating. It's this repetition through all these letters. And I think what Christ is teaching us there is that the primary goal of the church, one of the things that we have to be paying attention to consistently, no matter what context, no matter what situation, no matter where we are in the world, is we as the church have to constantly be listening to who? To what the Spirit says. What the Spirit says. So the answer to the question, I believe, what would Jesus be saying to us? Well, I know for sure that one thing he'd be continually saying to us as a church is, you need to be a church that listens to the Holy Spirit, that is always engaging with the Holy Spirit, that has an ear for listening. Now, who here has ears? So none of us have an excuse, right? We all have ears. And how many ears do we have? Two. Now, how many mouths do we have? One. I think that tells us something a little bit how God created us, right? We are supposed to be people who listen first and speak secondly. And I think we often get that confused, don't we? Who here considers themselves a good listener? Probably none of us, right? Well, Melissa, some of you may have a little bit better listening skills than others, but the majority of us, if not all of us, are very poor listeners. And Rebecca and I found it fascinating when we were doing graduate studies in marriage and family therapy. And I think one of the most important things we learned for our own marriage, as well as for helping others with relationships, is that we have to learn how to listen. We have to be taught how to listen. We have to practice listening skills. Why? Because none of us are good listeners. Think of the last time that you had an argument or a disagreement with someone. Now, as they were speaking to you and they were telling you how you were wrong and everything, what's going on in your mind? You're probably thinking about how you're going to respond, aren't you? You're thinking about how you're going to prove them wrong. And so you're not really listening to them at all. You're contemplating something else in your mind. And it comes to us so naturally not to be good listeners. It's something we actually have to practice. It's something we actually have to pursue. And you know what's fascinating to me is this is something that the people of God have struggled with for many years. And it's fascinating to me. I was looking at Deuteronomy, which was written by Moses. It was written about 3,500 years ago. And it's a story about how the people of God struggled to listen. And this is the text that Moses talks about. And he's sorrowful over the spiritual deafness of the people. Moses gathers all the people and he says this. He says this in Deuteronomy 29. He says, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land." And so what story is he talking about there? What historical circumstances Moses bringing up? The story of the
Exodus,
right? The story of great deliverance, the story of God's miraculous power to save and redeem and deliver his people from the hands of slavery. We see the story of people who are slaves who now become sons and children of God. And so Moses is saying, you've seen all these great and mighty things that God has done. You've witnessed all these miraculous things. And he says, you've seen the great trials your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. But then he says this, "But to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand, or eyes to see, or ears to hear." So here's the problem of the people of God. Here's our problem as humanity, is everyone here has a heart that's beating. You wouldn't be alive right now if you didn't have a heart. But Scripture says that our hearts are actually hardened towards God. We all have eyes, but we do not see and appreciate everything that God has done. We all have ears, but we don't listen to what God is saying to us. And Moses is saying that the natural spiritual state that we all exist in is that we are hardened in our hearts, we are deaf in our ears, and we are blind in our eyes. And I find this fascinating as well with the prophet Isaiah. Who knows who the prophet Isaiah is? So I need to see a lot more hands there. Yeah, you guys, just to make sure you're following with me, just to make sure you're listening, right? The prophet Isaiah. I mean, some of the most beautiful scriptures and messianic expectations of Jesus coming is found from the prophet Isaiah. But the prophet Isaiah actually had a horrible time as a prophet. And the reason for that is because Isaiah was instructed to speak and preach to people that wouldn't listen at all. And if you remember from Isaiah chapter 8, when Isaiah has this big moment, he says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." He has this massive experience. Sorry, I had to cough there. It's not because I'm sick. It's because it's cold and my voice is raspy. But Isaiah has this beautiful vision. He says, "Here I am, send me." And the Lord speaks to Isaiah. And he says, "This is going to be your mission. This is going to be your calling." He says, "Go and say this to my people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the hearts of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." So God is basically saying, Rebecca, do you mind bringing my water, please? God is basically saying to Isaiah, you're going to go and preach to people and they're not going to listen at all. And this is how Isaiah responds. He says, how long, O Lord? In other words, this is going to be miserable. Thanks so much, Caden. And what Isaiah gets a glimpse of is exactly what God experiences. That the people of God do not listen. That they do not hear the voice of God. Now, have you ever spoke to someone that was just ignoring you before? Uh-huh. Ever have that experience? Probably happens a lot with your kids, right? For you parents. Matt's shaking his head, it never happens with your mom? Okay, I'll ask her later, probably. Yeah, it does, right? She's already saying yes. But it's sort of a strange experience, right? You're trying to get through to them. You want to communicate something. You want to instruct them or teach them, encourage them, and they just won't listen at all. And this is exactly how God feels with his people at times. Now, I sort of feel this way when I'm flying. And you look at a flight attendant. Who has ever been on a plane and everyone's sitting there and the flight attendant comes on and she starts doing her whole safety spiel? And you look around you and you realize that no one is listening to them. I mean, they're going around telling people to take their headphones off. They're going around saying, you need to listen to this. Why? Because it's a matter of life and death. If we crash, you should probably know some of these things. And yet people are napping or they're too busy. They could care less about what's going on. And I feel like that's probably how Isaiah felt, or the prophets of God felt. You can sit there and you can sort of be listening, but really have no idea what's going on. And I mean, again, when you talk about a life and death situation, the most important person talking is the one telling you how to survive in a plane crash. And yet still, we don't listen to them. And so, think about it this way. Is it not the same thing with God? Does God not come to us and speak to us literally about life and death situations, about eternal life, about the abundance of life, about how life should be lived, about how we can only find life in Christ, about how meaning and purpose and value only comes from Christ, and yet we sort of treat him like a flight attendant sometimes, don't we? The words come at us, but we don't let it penetrate our heart. We don't let it to convict us. We don't let it instruct us. We don't let it guide us. Why? Because our hearts are dull. Our eyes are blind, our ears are shut. Scripture tells us over and over again that we're actually hopeless on our own. And so what is our hope? Well, what is our hope to get past this? How do we get softened hearts? How do we realize the voice of God? How do we discern and hear what God is saying to us? And the only answer is what? As Jesus tells the churches over and over again in Revelation, who do we need to be listening? Who do we need to listen to? The
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Let's say that louder, church.
Holy Spirit.
Don't treat me like a flight attendant right now. Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit guiding, instructing, empowering us. That's the only hope we have as a church. And let me say this very clearly, that unless we develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, God will always feel distant. We will not hear God's voice. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is a gift that Christ has given to us to experience the very presence of God. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the very thing that God has given us himself to direct us, empower us, and instruct us, and guide us. We need the Holy Spirit. We are hopeless without the Holy Spirit. I mean, even when Jesus, after his death, burial, and resurrection, his ascension into heaven, what did he promise the disciples? He said, the Holy Spirit will come. And he said to the disciples, it's actually going to be more beneficial that I go away and the Holy Spirit comes to you. That Jesus says that the Holy Spirit himself will be more beneficial to the church in the very presence of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the God who speaks to us, who teaches us, who guides us into truth. See, if God feels distant in your life right now, If God feels abstract, if God feels like a distant being, then the reason why is that you haven't engaged with Him in a very personal way. You haven't communicated the way that the Holy Spirit allows us to communicate. And so there are tons of reasons why God might feel distant or God isn't speaking to you. But the most likely reason is that you have stopped listening. You have stopped hearing from God. Now, God always loves us. The Holy Spirit is always present. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's a relationship. But we can ignore the Holy Spirit. So how does the Holy Spirit come into our lives? It's interesting. In John chapter 16, Jesus says this. He says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." In other words, Jesus has so much to teach us, but we can't even comprehend it. Then he says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Basically, everything that God the Father, God the Son wants to teach, wants to say to his church is going to come through the person of the Holy Spirit. That is our hope for hearing the truth of God. And so the Spirit's job then is to come to us as the church, as the people of God, and his role is to melt us under the truth of Scripture, to melt us under the truth of who God is. And so what does this look like? What do I mean by this melting imagery? Well, we all send emails today, don't we? I mean, that's a very primary way of communication. What was beautiful yesterday is we had our daughter's birthday, and she got all these birthday cards. And guess what? They were physical. You don't really see physical cards anymore. But what you do with physical cards, you put it in an envelope, and what kind of envelope it is? It's one that you have to lick with a bunch of that nasty glue, isn't it? They're sort of disgusting when you think about it. You're literally licking glue on paper just to seal it. But who remembers, but before those envelopes, how would you seal an envelope before that nasty glue? What would you use?
Wax.
You would use wax, right? And you would take this wax, and how would you get it into a form or a state that you could seal some paper with it? What would you have to do?
Melt it.
You'd have to melt it, right? You'd have to heat it up. And then you would take some sort of signet ring or whatever stamp, and you would take this wax and you would stamp it, and then you would seal it, right? And so there's this heating mechanism that is going on. Now, if you were just to take that wax without heating it and try and press it on a paper, what would happen?
Nothing.
Yeah, you rip the paper, the wax wouldn't accomplish anything. Now think of that concept and think about the categories of our ability to listen, our softened hearts. Think of the seal itself and the flame of the Spirit. So now think of this. If the wax is like our hearts, a heart that needs to be softened by fire, so to say, a heart that an ability to listen, it has to be softened like wax, then the seal becomes this truth of God and the Word of God, and the flame is the Holy Spirit. Think of that imagery now. Now process this with me. Without the Holy Spirit, without that flame, so to say, without that melting, the wax accomplishes nothing, right? No truth can penetrate our hearts without the Holy Spirit. For example, we can have concepts of God as powerful, but without the Holy Spirit, it just becomes a concept. It just becomes an abstract thought. We can have a concept, an abstract thought of that God is sovereign, he's in control of all things, but without the Holy Spirit, it actually doesn't melt our hearts. It doesn't make a difference in our lives. We can read about the power of God. We can read about the sovereignty of God, but it just becomes superficial and abstract unless the Holy Spirit penetrates our heart. But what the Holy Spirit does is deepen this understanding by softening our hearts to listen. And so think of this. When you read about the goodness of God, or when we sing about how God is a good, good Father, we can sing those concepts, but unless the Holy Spirit melts our hearts will never find peace. Why? Because we need to know intimately that God is good. We need to experience that peace. We can talk about the forgiveness of God. We can talk in abstract about forgiveness, but unless the Holy Spirit melts our hearts, we will never be able to shake off those fears of guilt and shame. We can talk even about the grace of God, but unless the Holy Spirit melts our hearts, we will never live in generosity and humility. We can read about the holiness of God or talk about the holiness of God, but unless the Holy Spirit melts our hearts, we will never live in utter conviction of sin and repentance. Do you see? It's only when the Holy Spirit comes to us that transformation and change happens in our life. We need the Holy Spirit. This is why in 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about, he says, do not quench who? Do not quench the Spirit. Why? Because when you quench the Spirit, you don't listen to the Spirit. You're ignoring the Spirit. The Spirit isn't a part of your life. You're living on your own. You're living under your own power. God is just an abstract. God is just a concept. You need the Holy Spirit. Paul also talks about do not grieve the Holy Spirit. In other words, it even says this. Here's the language. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed. There's that language even of the wax again for the day of redemption. And then it says, get rid of all bitterness and get rid of rage and anger and brawling and slander along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving just as Christ has forgiven you. So grieving the Holy Spirit means to do just that, causing the Holy Spirit grief when you're living, ignoring what the Spirit has for you. And so this plays itself in so many ways. I think of it in this context as well. When we look at the Scripture, the Bible is inspired by who? What does the church believe through all these centuries? The Holy Bible is inspired by who? I want to hear aloud. Do we know the answer? The answer is the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures is inspired by the Holy Spirit. We don't believe this is a holy word of God without the Holy Spirit. And so we have this understanding and explanation of this is how the Word of God is revealed to us. Now think of it in this context. Think of a light bulb. If there's a light bulb, let's say this is sort of a light bulb here. This illustration works way better inside, but this is a light bulb here. It's not on right now. There's no light coming from it. And so, is it a light bulb?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's get a little abstract thought. Is it a light bulb right now?
Well, yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to start an argument, I guess, but no, it's not a light bulb.
It's just a bulb.
It's not doing anything. It's just, there's no light coming from it. There's nothing coming from it. It's not doing what it's supposed to do, right? So I got a little too abstract there, but think of it in this sense. If we take the Scriptures, then if we take the Word of God and we understand the Scriptures and we say, you can read this book, right? And it can just be a book. Who has read this and not felt any instruction or guidance or wisdom? I mean, we've all probably been there at some point in time. Who's ever struggled to understand what they're reading? We all do in some sense, right? Why? Because we need the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Same as a light bulb. This is a book unless the Holy Spirit penetrates our hearts with it, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
We need the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us and direct us to understand the Holy Scriptures. And so this is very important for us to realize because, again, from my experience growing up, so much of what I was taught about the Bible, and I think going into graduate studies with it early on in my faith sort of did this to me, but You can teach, or you can treat the Bible as just an academic book. You can study it from grammatical, historical ways. You can do all these things and yet not have the truth of God penetrate your heart through it. We need the Holy Spirit, even with Scripture itself. And so, church, there is a reason for the repetition of Jesus in the book of Revelation. When he tells the churches over and over again, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We need to be a people who listen to God. Amen? Amen. We are hopeless without the Holy Spirit. We need to have ears that hear. Do your ears ever shut? Our mouth shuts? Our eyes shut? Do our ears ever shut? Maybe you get tons of wax in them, I guess. But no, they're not made to flap shut, are they? I got some bigger ears, so I can flap them pretty easy, but they're not designed that way. They're designed to always be open. They're designed to always be listening. They're always designed to be attentive. And it's the same way in our spiritual relationship with God. We need to be hearing the Holy Spirit. We need to be constantly understanding God's revelation of himself to us through the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be constantly listening, church. And so how does this play itself out? There's many ways that this happens. Again, when we talk about reading Scripture, this is one of the primary ways that we hear from the Holy Spirit. That God speaks to us in his Word. This isn't just a book of history. This isn't just a book of philosophy. This isn't just a book of self-help or guidance. This is a book of God's revelation of himself, revealing by the Holy Spirit his truth, his love, his wisdom, his guidance. This is how we hear from God. But there's many other ways as well. And as we move into this fall, there's going to be many opportunities for us to hear from God. And if you as an individual, if this is something you struggle with, there's a reason the church is a community, is it not? We are dependent on each other. So if you're an individual who struggles with this and says, I don't know how to hear from God. I don't know how to listen to the Holy Spirit. I don't know what a relationship with the Holy Spirit looks like. Then what should you do? Ask some people around you. This is one of the reasons we have small groups, home groups, so that we can gather as small communities and hear from God and speak to each other. This is why we have Sunday school, so that we can grow in our understanding of the Word and hear from God. This is why we have programs like Cultivate, where we gather as a group and we simply study. Here are some ways to hear from God and to practice our faith. This is why we have Freedom Sessions, so that the Holy Spirit can soften our hearts like wax and we can confess of sin, and so that we can grow in understanding of how to hear from the Holy Spirit. There's so many avenues that this can be happening. And the question in your life has to always be, am I listening to the Holy Spirit? Am I pursuing the Holy Spirit? Am I seeking after the Holy Spirit? Because again, unless we are doing that, God will feel distant. God will feel abstract. God will feel like a concept. But yet God is none of those things. God is deeply relational. God wants to speak to you. God wants to have an intimate relationship with you. God wants you to be known and you to know him. And the most beautiful thing about God, and this is part of the good news of the gospel, is that God knows us more than anything. God knows us more than anyone else could ever know us. And yet he loves us. He forgives us. And what we find is that we are more sinful than we could ever imagine, and yet we are more loved than we could ever comprehend. And when we put ourselves in a posture of continually hearing from the Holy Spirit, we'll be reminded over and over again how deeply loving and intimate our God is. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, church. The question is, are we going to listen? So let's pray to that endeavor. I invite you to bow your heads with me. Spirit, we come to you and we pray to you that we would be a church who hear you. Lord, it is so easy to get caught up in the busyness of our lives. It is so easy to get caught up even in the busyness of church family activities and ministries. and responsibilities, that, Lord, we can forget to simply to hear from you. Lord, you're always wanting to work through us, but you're wanting to transform us and change us at the same time. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us here today, Lord, that we would realize our desperate need for the Holy Spirit. And that for those of us who have felt that God is distant or God is abstract and we treat you in that manner, perhaps we even treat you like a flight attendant, Lord, I pray that you would just soften our hearts, melt our hearts by the Spirit so that we can hear from you, so that you can guide us into truth, so you can guide us into wisdom, so that you can reveal the calling and responsibility that you have in our life and reveal to us the love that you have for us as well. And so, gracious God, as we move into this next season of the church life, as we move into this fall, Lord, may we be a people with all of our ministries, with all of our leaders, with everyone here, may we be a people who desperately cry out to you in our need for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, gracious God, for this beautiful and wonderful gift. May we be a people who seek you. May we be a people who love you. May we be a people who admire you and praise you. Thank you, gracious God. Amen.